Welcome.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We are live, Tampa, Florida, of course, the big party for the Republicans. A lot of people milling around Radio Row. As always, it's a fun time to be here. You never know who you're going to bump into, including Chris Hall. He's an Oregon delegate, and he's all about the big picture. That's the name of his book.
That's right. It has,
in fact, on the front of it, a photograph, a digitized washed out. I like it, though.
It's a photo mosaic of
The president, and then a magnifying glass.
Yes.
We're looking for the big picture. And Chris does a day in Obama history every day, right?
Yes, I do that. That's a part of the book, and it's a great field guide it's a prep guide for arguing with liberals, basically.
Okay, so let's talk about first Oregon delegate. Obviously, you're very involved in what's happening here.
Right.
Tell me about that process and how you got that spot, because I know in Oregon, it's kicking and screaming and scratching to become a delegate.
Well, I'm actually a guest of the Oregon delegation. It was Michael Berry, the talk show host, who called them and said, get this guy down to Radio Row.
So, okay.
So that's how I got here.
So you snaked your way in.
Well, I snaked my way in, but I'm very excited about the Oregon Republican Party, and Oregon is in play this year also.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. What have you heard? What's the chatter?
Well, here's some certain things right now is that there are 100,000 registered Democrats in Oregon who have left the party. So they have 100,000 fewer Democrats in the Oregon Democratic Party that votes they can count on. Also, I think every election since 2008 has been a referendum on Obama. It could be New Jersey governor's race, Virginia governor's race, Scott Brown. You could talk about the 2010 elections. In Oregon, we got a Republican governor, but of course the votes were recounted, and it was just enough to get the Democrat over, and it was a corrupt process. But we have a split state legislature, so it is trending red right now.
Trending red. And as you see this, and you're here on the ground level, what are the things that you're starting? What are the conversations that you're having here in Tampa with other people? Because they see your Oregon thing, and they come up to you and they shake your hand and say, "Hey, Chris, buddy, what's going on in Oregon? What's the conversation?" What's the hallway chatter? We want to know the buzz.
Well, everyone seems to think that Oregon is this far-left state, but it is a very red state with two big blue dots, Eugene and Portland.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the most pro-Second Amendment state I've ever been in. I'm originally from Georgia, but it's very pro-Second Amendment, and the people outside of Portland and the people outside of Eugene are, I find, very conservative.
And, talking about pro-Second Amendment, I say this all the time. I completely am with you on the Second Amendment. But we're seeing now that I think there's going to be big challenges to that. It's going to be, of course, as it always has been, gun rights versus gun control, especially with recent shootings. That's always fodder for the machine on the other side to talk about, guns, and we need to take the guns out of the hands of the people. What are you doing or what are you hearing in Oregon as far as that's concerned?
Well, we need to be especially vigilant about gun rights because there are 1,000 different ways that they're trying to sneak it in, like through the Small Arms Treaty. I don't know if you're aware
of
that. But that was something that they were trying to do, was to try to cede sovereignty of our Second Amendment to the UN, basically.
Right.
And that got shot down. But the people in Oregon are very... they're on top of this. There are people there who are liberal about everything else except gun rights, and I think they're going to vote Republican this time.
Okay, so here you are in Tampa. You're getting ready for the big night. What do you think we're going to hear from Mitt Romney?
I think he's probably going to paint in very broad strokes. I don't think he's going to get into the specifics or the details or anything like that. I think he's going to hit... basically, Barack Obama needs to make the case for why he deserves another four term, and he cannot justify the last 4 years. I think Romney is going to hit on some big ticket items like energy. you know, the fact that gas prices are roughly double. I think he's going to hit on the fact that median household income is down roughly $4,300. I think he's probably going to discuss that most people's net worth is down 40%. And, you know, I think he's going to hit on those themes, some, I guess you could call them kitchen table themes.
Certainly, obviously, things that resonate with people. Tonight's the night for Ann Romney. Tonight's really the start of the convention. That's why I asked you about the buzz and what people
right.
were saying to you. You obviously do as much research as you can on Obama, talking about daily, sending things out and writing about what's happened in this moment in Obama history.
Right.
If you were to, from your point of view, if you were to give me the five top most egregious things, what would you say they are?
Wow.
No, then maybe I won't put that much pressure on you. Just
yeah,
give me a few.
Not put that much pressure. I mean, I could either talk about just small little things such as, sneaking four Guantanamo Bay terrorists into British territory, Bermuda, without ever notifying the British about
mm-hmm.
that. I mean that's an idea of a small thing that's huge. But there are also large trends that Obama has, such as. It's this executive omnipotence that he has. He has ignored court orders, Freedom of Information Act requests, drilling moratoriums. And if Barack Obama cannot get what he wants through legitimate means of process, he runs around it. Like, for instance, he couldn't get cap and trade through Congress. And he even threatened Congress. I go into this, into the big picture. Well, he just goes through the EPA to get what he wants. He couldn't get union card check. He just makes recess appointments. He couldn't get, you know, I could go on down the line about these things.
Right, right. So, as you say, he has to make the case for being reelected for another 4 years. How, I've talked about handicapping. I've had strategists on backwards and forwards. How tight do you think, from your perspective, how tight do you think this race is?
I do not think it is really that tight right now, because Mitt Romney right now, you have to realize, he only has like 69% name recognition with the American people. 100% of the American people know who Barack Obama is.
Right.
So I think Romney has an advantage there. He's going to be making the case for himself, and I think it's going to resonate with people. I just don't see that Obama has anything going to his advantage.
Right. What about the things that we're talking about lately is the trend, not the trend, but where our population's going, more Hispanics, more black votes being mobilized, the thought that, oh, Romney's only about, you know, he's the man of the white people. How much, and this has been talked about a lot, and every time I turn on the TV, that's what's being, people are talking about. I'm like, okay. So how big of a factor is that? And I saw something the other day, I saw a statistic where Romney had to get 65% of the white vote, a crazy number that we haven't seen in forever.
Well, fortunately, money is green. It has no color. And I think black folks, I think Hispanic folks, I think anyone would prefer to keep more of their own money at the end of the paycheck. There are a lot of things that Mitt Romney stands for that have a broad universal appeal to people. So I think that's another thing that he needs to discuss.
All right, so we'll see. We'll see what the speech is like on Thursday. You're going to be there, right?
Oh, yes, and I'm going to be there tonight, too.
Ooh, all right, Chris Hall, thanks so much for stopping by. We love Oregon. Thanks.
Okay, I appreciate it, Kate.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
We've all heard the phrase, don't judge a book by its cover. A wise saying for sure. Now apply that wisdom to nutrition. Don't judge milk by the animal. Camel milk, the best kept health secret ever. See for yourself at camelmilkforsale.com and look for the Summer Camel Milk Special. Loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk, camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Plus, it contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to camelmilkforsale.com now and look under products and pricing for the summer special with free bonus pints. That's camelmilkforsale.com.
And Tommy, we can count. This is a scary story I happen to come across. Yosemite National Park, I have some friends that are going there in a couple of days. Oh, yeah, because Labor Day is coming up. Check this out. Park officials sent letters and even emails to 1,700 visitors who stayed in some of the cabins and some of the places there in June, July, and August, warning them that they might have been exposed to the disease that also caused 2 people to fall ill. Wow, a public health crisis because 2 people died from a rodent-borne disease following a simple overnight stay. I know a few people that have stayed in the so-called signature tent cabins at Curry Village, and this is where they found the problem. The illness is spread by contact with rodent feces. Boy, that's scary. Urine, saliva, that kind of stuff, or just even inhaling exposed airborne particles. How sad is that? You think of people who are trying to see the majesty of Yosemite National Park, certainly not thinking that they're going to come across this. Centers for Disease Control found out over the weekend that a second visitor, that's when they determined this, from Pennsylvania, by the way, had died from the disease that I just mentioned. You know, Yosemite gets about 4 million, give or take, tourists a year from around the world. And those people at that park have to be concerned in trying to figure out if the warning should be expanded to include other countries, because you certainly have a lot of people coming from other countries quickly here, since it is about the numbers. The disease can incubate, they say, for 6 weeks before you get this flu-like kind of symptom. It's fatal in 30% of all cases. That's a high number. And there is no specific treatment. It's not spread human to human, so that's the thing. We're back to people aren't sure. They don't really realize if they have this or not. So I think it'd be wise for them to send it out to other countries, but this is the thing. They don't want to create a panic, and here you are, Labor Day. Lots of people, including a few people I know, are headed to Yosemite, and this is what they're greeted with. On a happier note, a flight attendant, how about this, gets in the Guinness World Record books. How? 63 years. A 63-year flight attendant. Ron Akana, who's 83, worked his last route over the weekend on a United flight from Denver to Kauai. Great way to end that, huh? And that is his home state. That's where it all began. It wasn't his final stop, though, then. His destination was retirement. Check this out. In Boulder, Colorado. And he initially had started out in Hawaii, lived in Hawaii, and decided how much he loved Boulder because he had grandchildren there. So first couple days of retirement, he spent writing a lot of notes to people who were wishing him well. He was very, very popular. It's crazy to think of that. Think of 63 years. I think that's a record that he will hold for a very long time. He actually joined the airline when he was a student at the University of Hawaii. In 1949, he saw an ad in a newspaper, and he said he didn't even know what they called then a flight steward, but he decided, hey, this is the way I can go to the mainland, and it was a big deal to be able to fly to California and fly to other parts of the United States. So that's how he actually decided that he was going to go into the business of being a flight attendant. I love that story. How about this? This is also an uplifting story. Very sad what happened, but the fact that so many people have come forward. Did you know that survivors and families of the victims of the Aurora, Colorado crazy movie massacre are demanding that the more than $5 million raised in donations go directly to them and not to nonprofit groups? Here's what's happened. Some of the money that's been raised, it's called the Aurora Victim Relief Fund, I think we've talked about it on the air, has been dished out to families of the 12 people killed and the 58 who were also injured, some of them terribly, in the July 20th shooting. But some of the people have come forward, and they have claims that the money wasn't going to the people that it was promised to. Boy, don't you hate that. So it's great that this money was raised, but wouldn't it be great if it definitely went to the place where it was earmarked for? And if you think $5 million, the first payout, went to nonprofit groups. In fact, one of the families, they were told that no family would go directly to victims. That's not what they were originally told, and I think that's why so many people jumped in and tried to help the families, because they read some of the horrific stories about what had happened to some of the victims. You know, the woman who had her young child in the theater and was pregnant, lost her baby she was carrying, lost her daughter, and I think now is paralyzed at this point. And putting the human face on it is what I believe led to so many donations. I have to believe that all of you listening, any of you who might have donated, expected that 100% of the money would go to the families of the victims, not for some administrative nonsense. So let's hope that they actually straighten that out. No amount of money is going to make those people feel good, but it's going to help with some of the medical expenses for so many. This is a scary thought. We think of all the problems we've been talking about with the mail and whether or not we're going to have Saturday delivery in the future because of the fear of bankruptcy and whatnot. But how about this strange personal story? There was a mail carrier out of Newark, New Jersey, who used her daily route to move cocaine shipments in packages that were falsely addressed right there on behalf of drug trafficking organizations that were in Puerto Rico. The U.S. Attorney's Office in New Jersey caught her. Christina Nunez, her name is. She was getting packages of cocaine from Puerto Rico, passing them to a co-conspirator in Camden, New Jersey, of all places. And she was moving a ton of the stuff. She did get released on $100,000 bail, not a surprise, because you got to think about who the people are in her life. She's got that electronic monitoring thing going on. But I think the story here is the fact that she was assigned to a post office in Secaucus. She moved 18 kilograms of coke from October 2010 until she was arrested on August 24th. 30-year-old. She's charged with conspiracy with intent to distribute coke and mail theft. A spokesperson for the U.S. Postal Service, not a surprise, said her employment status following her arrest, not immediately known. She had a co-partner in this, I guess, or a co-conspirator. Her boyfriend was helping her move whatever he could move along the way, too, as well. Wow, that, what a crazy story that is when you think about it. The risk that she was willing to take until they finally, she popped up on the radar from Puerto Rico because somebody there screwed up, and ultimately that ended up costing her, and who knows how much jail time she'll end up doing. If you've been watching any of the convention, people are complaining about the mistakes at the convention. People, it's live. It's live, and that's what happens. So, you know, NBC is the butt of so many jokes, whether you tune in to Today Show, which I did, or you're going with the late night people, or you're going with the Daily Show. Jon Stewart has a way about really ripping somebody when things are falling apart. So here NBC is covering the convention wall to wall, sort of. And what's happening, unfortunately, is the fact that they're having some problems along the way where they'll have fallout here and there, dropouts of mics and that kind of stuff. And it's just complete fodder for the shows, along with, of course, The Tonight Show laying off 24 workers. There's a big number. And the host, Jay Leno, deciding that he was going to take a pay cut. That also became a part of the discussion. So NBC is, you know, falling off the map. They used to be the 500-pound behemoth, I guess. And boy, how things have changed. When you get to your campaign coverage and you have clip mics and things dropping out here and there, you know, before that would be like a mortal sin. Everything had to be perfect. You think of the people that were behind the anchor desk, and boy, would they never, ever, ever allow that. All right, we've got one more for you. How about this? On Monday morning at a meeting of about 100 Texas delegates and alternates at the Saddlebrook Resort, that's in Tampa, 20 miles away from the convention center, one topic got the crowd pretty fired up more than any other. The delegates started to talk about a letter condemning some of the changes to the National Republican Party's rules that infuriated some of the Texas folks. They actually showed up, and talking to them today, they showed up in cowboy hats and were not thrilled with what the RNC is now calling things that cannot happen on the floor. And one of the things is something to do with some of those grassroots movements. They feel like they're being infringed upon is how they're putting it. And it's the Ron Paul factor that has really ticked off a lot of people, and some of the Texans were responsible for that. So I think that's the main thing. Woohoo!
The summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Liquid CalMag Vitamin D and Organic Iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product Tonixin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course. Information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com. America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Of course, we're broadcasting from Tampa, the site of the Republican convention. A lot of eyes on Isaac as it makes landfall in Louisiana. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the conversation as far as the RNC speeches are concerned. And Romney trying to soften the image of Mitt Romney. What are some of the specific things that she said? We'll talk about that. Right now, though, in our virtual green room, we spared no expense. He is maybe sipping on one of those lattes that I told Matt to put in the virtual green room. Anyway, I'm just teasing. We love having Dan Gaynor on this program. He's the president of the Business and Media Institute at the Media Research Center. We're going to talk about ethanol. And what is the scoop on ethanol? How come nobody's talking about it, especially with this drought and the problem with the corn crops? Dan, thanks for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure. I'm actually virtually green in the virtually green room.
I like that, virtually green. You know, in television, if you were green, that's a really bad thing, because that would mean you're not white balanced. So be careful.
That's okay. I'm colorblind, partially. Anyhow, it doesn't really matter.
Why is it there isn't a discussion about ethanol, or not very many? We've talked about it in America Tonight, but to be honest, in trying to research more on ethanol, really in the last couple of months, just to see what other people are saying, you're right. I hardly could come up with any coverage of this. So what gives?
Well, I mean, this is one of those classic media things where they don't really want to tell you the truth of what's going on. Yes, the drought is really affecting corn prices, but the government mandates 13.2 billion gallons of ethanol be made every year. So what we're doing is we are growing crops that are meant to eat for humans and for animals, and we're shoving them in our cars, and the government's forcing us to do this even though we've got a drought. So you've got corn growers out there saying, well, you know, look this ear of corn, and you see something half the size of what it should be, and we're forcing people to put that into our cars. The net result is the price of ethanol goes up, the price of food goes up, we can't export food as much, and the media, the reality here is, even though on the hard left and the hard right, both sides have acknowledged that ethanol is one of the most ridiculously stupid and awful policies in modern times. I mean, the left and the right both hate this. This is not a bipartisan.
Sure.
The problem is the stupid people in Capitol Hill and the stupid people in the media who have told you for years that ethanol was a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and the problem is, tell everybody why it's not such a good thing, Dan.
Well, it's not good for a couple reasons. One, it's not good because you can't produce enough of it. We grow it based on corn. Now, in Brazil, they grow it based on sugar. Sugar has, I think, what you call a higher energy coefficient. So you get more energy out of sugar ethanol than you do out of corn ethanol. Corn ethanol, on the other hand, you have to plant a lot of crops to get the corn. You can't use pipelines, because the ethanol is so destructive to pipes, it degrades the pipes, which, of course, wonderful thing to do in your car. You can't use too much in your car because, of course, it degrades your car. There is a lot of discussion whether, in fact, you even save any energy producing it, because to grow the corn, you use fertilizer, which is made in part from, oil.
Yeah.
And you ship it, which is used oil and ethanol, of course, because you're shipping. And then, the whole process is just so convoluted that there's not even great agreement that we're saving any energy. But why do we do it?
It's the green agenda.
No, it has nothing to do with the green agenda. The left and the right hate the green agenda for this as well. It's because where is the first primary?
Iowa.
Uh-huh. What do they grow in Iowa?
Corn.
I've been to Iowa two times recently, and I can tell you it is really the amazing amounts of corn. What they tell you about Iowa is true. It's corn pretty much everywhere. If the first primary was held in Hawaii, we'd be shoving pineapples in our cars. But instead, we've got this failed policy, and neither part, we've cut back on it, so we at least got rid of the tariff. So that at least we're not putting tariff on foreign ethanol we're shipping in. But this is just such a convoluted policy. And the networks, they've done a ton of stories on the drought this year, 55 stories in the last 6 months. But only seven of those even made a mention of the issue of ethanol. I mean, that is astonishing that they would be that nearsighted about it. This is something that is affecting our country. The UN, and I think you and I could spend a whole night talking about the UN, and we could come up with 99 reasons out of 100 why we can't stand the UN.
Right.
Well, here is one time where the UN is actually doing a good thing. They told the U.S., they said, you've really got to drop, at least for now, the ethanol mandate, because what are you going to do? You are going to starve the world.
By doing that.
We are the breadbasket of the world. And so if we've got a drought and we're not growing as much corn, and what we're growing, we're not shipping abroad, guess what? Other countries are going to starve. So 2008, remember when we had big issues about corn and price of ethanol? We had global food riots.
Yes, I remember.
That's what this policy ultimately is doing. This is what the media are pushing under the rug because they don't really want us to know about it.
So it's all about Iowa. Iowa has that much sway because it's politics.
Tip O'Neill is a very famous Democrat, and it said possibly the most brilliant thing ever about politics, which is all politics local.
Yeah.
And so when it comes down to it, everybody in Washington wants to get reelected. Everybody, every party was, well, we can't offend the Iowans. We won't ever be able to run for national office. You know, there's a line in Blazing Saddles where Mel Brooks, because he's playing Governor LePetitmaine, mm-hmm. and at one point in time, you know, when they're discussing a crisis, he says, we got to protect our phony baloney jobs here. Well, that's what this is about. They're trying to protect their phony baloney jobs. It has nothing to do with helping the American people. Nothing.
Now, I agree with you. And here's the other thing. And you mentioned it, talking about the cars and the pipes and everything else. We're not equipped. And your analogy to Brazil was brilliant, because they have cars that are set up for petro and for the sugar cane, because essentially you're right. That's what it is. I've seen that process, Dan. And it's completely different than what we're talking about in the United States. We are totally not equipped to handle all the ethanol anyway, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, well, to grow enough ethanol to actually, like, put it in our cars, to use the cars that we use, we basically have to, you know, tear down all the cities and tear down all the roads and just plant corn. So, I mean, it's just a ridiculous process. And what's worse is, for all the everybody in the know in this, and I mean everybody, you talk to auto people, you talk to energy people, they realize that 10% ethanol is dangerous for cars. The government is looking at E15 right now. E15 will be so destructive to your engine. I mean, I guess it's the way to get us all driving Chevy Volt. Because, you know, they'll basically wreck your car, engine, so you'll be forced to drive an electric car.
I was just going to say, aren't they, like, not making any more Volts? They just made some big announcement about that, so we'd really be stuck. And
yeah,
it's crazy.
We don't have a national energy policy. And this is the most bizarre thing. Here we are, a nation that thrives on energy. The reason why we are the global economic power that we are is because of excessive energy. What is our policy on energy? To get rid of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at across the board, and this is the left and the media, they walk hand in hand on this. They are anti-nuclear because they highlight every nuclear problem. Don't talk of the fact that the French get 70% of their nuclear power from nuclear. They are anti-carbon-based fuels. Oh, you got to worry about global warming. So there goes coal, natural gas, and oil. Okay? Then they are against dams. The left is systematically going around our country and worrying about, like, I don't know, whatever, the snail darter or some sort of, you know, the salmon at some place, and they're trying to tear down dams to provide power around the country. Then they're against windmills. Yes, we're told they're for windmills, but even Ted Kennedy, back when he was still alive, was fighting them building windmills off the coast of Nantucket.
Yeah.
They are against large solar because of both the environmental impact and the heavy metals you use in large solar projects. They are against energy. They want us all to live. And I mean, you read the lefty literature, they're very honest about this. They like the way the Japanese live, where they have really tiny apartments and they live all close together, and then they rewild the area around them. That's what they want us to do. They want to keep us basically in little habit trails.
Oh, I can't live in a shoebox, can you?
I don't right now. I live in a house in the suburbs with a half acre of land.
Yeah, no way. I can't even do zero lot line very well. So
for the eco nuts who happen to listen right now, I also have deer and rabbits and a fox and all sorts of critters that come to my property, and they're all welcome. I just don't welcome people that much.
I totally get you. The E15 timetable, what do you think the timetable is on that? Oh, please.
Well, I think that depends on what's going on right now in Tampa and what will be going next week in Charlotte. You know, if the Republicans get in, some of the most absurd idiocy will be reined in. You know, Mitt Romney's a businessman. He'll look at some of this and go, what are you, crazy?
Right.
And so some of this stuff, the real crazy stuff, will go away. But things like ethanol, I mean, the left and the right agree on this, and we can't get rid of it.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
You know, that shows you how morally, ethically, and politically bankrupt we are in Washington when the experts on both sides of the coin say, yeah, not a good idea. Oh, well, let's keep it then.
Yeah, we agree on something, and the UN doesn't feel the same way. Like you said, that is the most bizarre twist of all. Dan Gaynor, always a pleasure to have you on America Tonight. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Of course, we'll get to the mailbag in just a second. But here's an update on Hurricane Isaac. The hurricane actually spun into what we call the southern Louisiana coastline late on Tuesday. It sent massive floodwaters surging, and it really unleashed some wild winds, 80-mile-an-hour up to 90-mile-an-hour winds. Wow, that's crazy. So a lot of people chose to stay, and they were hunkered down, I'm sure, behind boarded-up windows. New Orleans calmly waited out another storm. This is the 7th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, and they're hoping that these incredibly strengthened levees now will hold up $10 billion worth of levees. Isaac's storm spans, I'm told, about 200 miles from its center, all told. It made landfall close to 7 o'clock near the mouth of the Mississippi River, but it was really zeroing in on New Orleans. And that's the key thing. So a lot of people stayed put, other than the people that were evacuated in low-lying areas of Louisiana and Mississippi, and they ordered the closure, as you know, of the state's 12 shorefront casinos. We were there. We broadcast from there in Biloxi and whatnot. And there's no way with where that water is. So by late Tuesday, more than 100,000 homes, businesses had lost power. Boy, this is sadly a familiar theme, and it does harken back to Katrina, although nothing like the devastation of Katrina, at least not we've seen so far. Thank goodness for that. Keep your fingers crossed. All right, without further ado, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Our first victim, snail mail-wise anyway, this one from Mimi listening to us in Vermont, says, "Hello, Kate Delaney. I've been listening to you on and off, I say on and off because it depends on my shift, for a very long time. We love you here on WVMT." Oh, thank you for that. "My big question is, do you think poll-wise that Romney and Ryan will get a boost in the poll numbers from what's happening at the convention? It seems that people always talk about that." Well, Mimi, I got to say, I'm not going out on a limb by telling you, of course, they're going to get some kind of a boost. How much, though, is the question? And how much do the polls in the next 70 days, because we're 69 days, actually, out of the election, and it's about electoral votes. So how much sway will the polls actually have? What are we going to see in these polls, I guess, is the key thing. All right, let's take this one from Eric. Eric says, "Yo, America Tonight, I got a question for you. I thought I heard you talking about football, but I missed it. You are fond of saying that I might have had one eye open." I think that's what you say to listeners anyway. "What's the deal with Nail the Score? When does it start up?" Eric, I always say that. I say, some of you might have one eye open, but you can call the show any time, no matter what your stripes are. Something like that. I've got a new twist on that version of what I was saying about calling the show. Because some of you are lying awake and listening. All right, the key thing here is Nail the Score Tuesday, this next Tuesday, coming up off of Labor Day in our third hour. It's really technically Wednesday morning. Our first Nail the Score. The reason why is because the Dallas Cowboys play on Wednesday night against the New York Giants. If that's the kickoff to the season, I feel like we need to do our first one out of the gate then. It only makes sense to me. So that's why I decided to move it. But normally it'll be on Wednesdays. There's too many Thursday games. It used to always be on Thursday. So not to confuse anyone, I hope we have that straight. Wednesdays normally, this next week, Tuesday, Tuesday, Tuesday. Here's one from Tank. You gotta love that name. Tank says, "Kate, I don't know if you saw this or not, but they're talking about these gun ID bills and what it might do to gun manufacturers like Remington. See, it has definitely begun. Subtly, perhaps, but it has begun. What's your take?" Well, I, like you, saw the same thing. You have Remington especially, but Colt, I think, is thrown in there, too. They could decide, especially, I mean, this is the thing, it's the ballistic imprinting, to backpedal here for a second, as it was explained to me. It's the process that uses the laser to engrave a tiny marking of the make, the model, and the serial number on the tip of a gun's firing pin. It also allows an imprint of that information on cartridge cases. You know, you see, like, in some of these CSIs or whatever, and they pick up the cartridge and they're looking at it. Of course, that's what it is. So what a game changer this would be. The technology would be a game changer that would allow people to quickly identify the registered guns used in crimes. But here's the thing. Opponents say the process is costly. It is unreliable and may ultimately impact local economies that depend on the gun industry, like where Remington maintains a factory, like Hartford, Connecticut, where Colt's manufacturing headquarters is right now. If you're talking about mandatory micro stamping, you would probably have a loss of what they're saying is 50 jobs. And that's the New York State Senator, one of them anyway, James Seward, who's saying that Remington employs 1,100 workers in that town. And you're talking about a company that has options in other states. So why would they be in a state that's not, you know, that's pretty hostile as far as legal gun manufacturing? So there could be massive negative reaction to this micro stamping, and that really could be a game changer. Some of this is as a result of the mass shootings that we've seen, the Aurora, Colorado nut, the Sheik Temple thing in Wisconsin, now what just happened a week and a half ago in front of the Empire State Building. So they're warning, Remington is warning the New York governor, from what I understand, if I'm right about this, that forced micro-stamping, while it looks good on TV, because, you know, that's futuristic, could really prompt this company to reconsider whether or not they're going to hang in New York or just go someplace else, because why do they want to spend that kind of money? And, of course, other states would be friendly to it and would definitely welcome in those jobs, you know, without question that would happen. All right, this one comes to us from Big Don, listening to us in Texas. Katie, 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 you're a Texas girl. I love listening to your show, honey. I like that, okay? And he says, not to be confused with Dan, by the way, in Texas, and he says, did you see this thing about Texas voting maps and this discrimination thing that they're throwing about? I think what you're talking about, and this has happened in other places, but a court in Washington, which was actually ruling on this, said that the maps don't comply with Federal Voting Rights the Act, because state prosecutors didn't prove that Texas lawmakers didn't draw the new congressional and state Senate districts without discriminatory purposes. And I think that's pretty much, Don, what you're referring to. It applies specifically to maps drawn by the legislature in 2011 and not the interim ones, I guess, that were done by San Antonio Federal Court. This is a big deal, because this goes to districts, this goes to the whole voting thing, and what does it mean? It means that the Voting Rights Act, beyond the limits intended by Congress and beyond the boundaries imposed by the Constitution, it extends it pretty much, is what we're seeing. So the Texas Attorney General, Greg Abbott, immediately said he was going to appeal the U.S. Supreme Court, if you remember. He said they were going to try to do whatever they could to see something changed there instead of, they're not going to accept that. Of course, everything's appealed, so that's not a surprise. I don't know how far they'll get in that appeal. You know, that'll be ultimately the curious thing. And I mentioned this already, we have 69 days before the election, if you think about it. So nothing's going to change. Certainly nothing is going to change there. It's not going to happen. All right, in the meantime, here's this last one. This comes to us from Mika. And Mika says, hello, old friend. I just wanted you to know that I have been paying attention to the price of gasoline. Have you been paying attention? Somehow, Somewhere used to be the show that always checked in on gas. I haven't heard you say much about it. It's really shot up. In fact, in the Gulf region, and perhaps I was there on business, the reason why is because of Isaac, but we're talking 30 cents a gallon. 30 cents a gallon, that's ridiculous. What do you think the high water mark is? Oh, without a doubt, the high water mark for most people, the threshold, is somewhere around $4. Whenever, anytime with this show, we've gotten up to $4, everybody runs for the hills. Nobody wants to pay $4 for a gallon, four or more for a gallon of gasoline. So that, to me, is always the threshold number. Remember, I don't care what you want to gripe about. If you want to vent, one of the best ways to get a hold of us is to simply let it fly by sending us an email to americatonight.net.
Food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy. The best you can buy.